Get ready for a deep dive into the reign of King Solomon. We're talking incredible wealth, wisdom, and some decisions that'll make you think, what was he thinking?
It's a fascinating study. It really shows how power and faith and, human nature can make for quite a wild ride.
Exactly. We'll be looking at excerpts from a lecture by Dr. Elaine Phillips, a leading scholar of Old Testament literature. Think Game of Thrones meets ancient history with, you know, a little divine intervention thrown in.
Always helps.
Right. Okay, so Solomon's story picks up after the death of his father, King David. But before he can even, you know, take the throne, there's some serious family business to deal with.
Oh, yeah. David left Solomon some very specific instructions. And they weren't just about settling old scores. They were brilliant political moves to help Solomon secure his power.
Oh, totally. Like dealing with Joab, Shimei, and the sons of Barzillai. Just a quick reminder for everyone. Joab was David's army commander. Powerful guy, ruthless, but also tied to some shady stuff.
Right. And David knew Joab was ambitious, independent, basically a threat to Solomon's throne. He had to go.
And then there's Shimei, who, you know, publicly cursed David when he was running from Absalom. Talk about holding a grudge. And finally, the sons of Barzillai. They were the good guys. Barzillai helped David during the whole Absalom rebellion. So David wanted Solomon to show them kindness and loyalty. It's like David was giving Solomon a crash course in how to rule 101.
Yes. David knew that personal relationships and smart politics went hand in hand. Every decision had consequences.
But even with all this advice, Solomon's path to the throne wasn't easy. His older brother Adonijah tried to grab power while David was still alive.
Yeah, this happens a lot in the Old Testament. Sons challenging their fathers for power. You see how these struggles for power were often connected to religion and the military.
Adonijah wanted support from both. He allied himself with Abiathar, a top priest, and get this, Joab, the same Joab David warned Solomon about.
Alliances were everything back then. Adonijah was trying to get the support he needed. Religious authority, and military power.
Thankfully, the prophet Nathan and Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, found out and told David. Even on his deathbed, David knew how to stop a power grab and made sure Solomon became king. But here's where things get interesting. With all this drama going on, Solomon starts his reign with a surprising move. He prays for guidance.
It's the famous prayer for wisdom that Dr. Phillips talks about. It's powerful. Says a lot about who Solomon was.
He didn't ask for wealth, power, or a long life. He asked for wisdom to rule fairly and well. A humble request, especially since he was already known for being wise.
Imagine that. You're young, you just got immense power, and the first thing you do is ask for the ability to rule with justice and make good decisions. It's a good lesson for leaders even today.
Yeah, it's like saying, I know I've got a lot to learn, and I want to do right by my people. And you know what? God was impressed. Gave Solomon what he asked for, plus wealth and security on top of it.
That's divine blessing for you.
Yeah.
Solomon wanted to serve his people, and that's what God wanted too.
Okay, so Solomon starts with God's support, a united kingdom, and a reputation for wisdom. Seems like it should be smooth sailing from here.
Well, best laid plans and all that. Solomon's reign had its challenges. One of his biggest accomplishments was expanding the kingdom. During his time, Israel reached its largest size ever. It went from the Euphrates River all the way to the Philistine territory and the border of Egypt.
Wow, that's huge. How did he do that? Was he conquering everyone like his father?
He was actually more strategic, less about fighting. He knew how to build alliances, and one of the best ways to do that, especially then, was marriage. A lot of marriages.
Yes. The famous wives of Solomon. He had a lot of them, to say the least. Dr. Phillips mentions 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's not exactly a small family dinner.
Like a lot, right. But you have to understand, in the ancient Near East, marriage was a political tool. It helped solidify treaties and keep the peace between kingdoms. Not about love, but alliances.
More Game of Thrones than The Bachelor.
Exactly. And lots of ancient rulers did this, not just in Israel. It was a way to prevent war and encourage trade and cultural exchange.
But wasn't there something in Deuteronomy about kings having too many wives? A warning about them turning away from God?
You're right. Deuteronomy 17 specifically warns against it. Doesn't seem like Solomon listened, though.
So the warning signs were there, flashing red, and he just ignored them. I think I see where this is going.
We'll get to that. For now, let's talk about Solomon's economic skills. He wasn't just about marriage and alliances. He understood trade and infrastructure, too.
He was like the ultimate wheeler and dealer. Dr. Phillips talks about how he fortified cities along important trade routes, places like Megiddo, Hazor, and Geser.
Those cities were in key locations, perfect for controlling trade and protecting the kingdom. Gezer's interesting. He was captured and burned down by the Pharaoh of Egypt. Then he gave it as a wedding gift to his daughter, who happened to be one of Solomon's wives.
Wait, a burned out city as a wedding gift? That's, different, to say the least. What was he thinking?
It was actually smart. Solomon got to start fresh, rebuild Gezer exactly how he wanted. He turned it into a strong fortress and a major trading center.
It's like getting a fixer-upper in a great location. He was playing chess while everyone else was playing checkers. This whole thing shows how much Solomon was thinking ahead. Location, infrastructure, controlling goods and resources, he knew what he was doing.
Exactly. He was creating an economic powerhouse.
And all this led to a time of prosperity and peace in Israel. Dr. Phillips even mentions a passage in 1 Kings that describes everyone living safely, each man under his own vine and fig tree. Sounds pretty idyllic.
A perfect picture of peace and plenty, all thanks to Solomon's leadership. But as we'll see, even golden ages don't last forever. There were problems hiding just below the surface.
Okay, now I'm really interested. What could possibly go wrong when you have wisdom, wealth, and God on your side?
That's the big question, isn't it? And that's exactly what we'll find out as we continue our deep dive.
So, we're back, still deep in the reign of King Solomon. Incredible wealth, expansion, wisdom, and, like you said, some shadows lurking. What happened next?
This is where it gets interesting. Dr. Phillips points out that the details about Solomon's, well, his downfall, you only find that in the Book of Kings. It's not in Chronicles.
Wait, so different parts of the Bible tell different versions of the story? How does that work?
You got to remember, the Bible isn't just one book. It's a collection of writings put together over centuries. Sometimes those writings, they give you different perspectives on the same events. That's where source criticism comes in.
Source criticism sounds kind of complicated.
No, it's pretty simple, really. Scholars use source criticism to analyze texts, figure out where the information came from, who wrote it, and why. It helps us understand the nuances, maybe even some bias, in these historical accounts.
So Chronicles might be giving us, like, the highlight reel of Solomon, and Kings gives us the full picture.
That's a possibility. Chronicles tends to focus on the good stuff, especially when it comes to the kings and their role in temple worship. Kings is a little more, let's say, realistic.
Okay, got it. So what does Kings tell us about this downfall? Where did things go wrong?
According to Kings, a big part of it was those political marriages, the ones we talked about. They came back to bite him.
All those wives and concubines really did cause problems, huh? Just like Deuteronomy warned us.
It seems so. Kings tells us that Solomon started worshiping the gods of his foreign wives. And in ancient Israel, that was a huge deal. Mm-hmm. Their entire society was based on a covenant with one god. Turning to other deities, that was breaking the covenant.
It's like he built his kingdom on a foundation of faith and then started chipping away at it with his own actions.
Exactly. And it's a reminder that power, wealth, even wisdom, it doesn't make you immune to temptation. Solomon's story, it's a classic example of how even the brightest minds can stumble.
What did God think about all this?
God was angry. That's understandable. And as a direct result of Solomon's actions, he decreed that the kingdom would be divided after Solomon's death.
Wow, so the United Kingdom that David and Solomon built, it gets torn apart. That's a pretty big consequence.
It was like the nation itself was shattered. Solomon's actions, they didn't just affect him, they affected everyone.
You know, Dr. Phillips mentioned something about a prophet named Ahijah and a cloak. It sounded pretty dramatic. What was that all about?
Oh, yeah, that's a powerful image. The prophet Ahijah, he runs into Jeroboam, one of Solomon's officials, and he takes his brand new cloak and tears it into 12 pieces. Each piece represented one of the 12 tribes of Israel. He gives 10 of those pieces to Jeroboam and basically says, God's going to give you 10 tribes to rule over.
So even before Solomon dies, they're setting the stage for a divided kingdom. That's kind of scary.
It's a prophecy of what's coming, and it sets the stage for the whole period of the divided monarchy, full of intrigue, conflict, and ultimately the downfall of both kingdoms.
Okay, so we've seen Solomon's amazing rise, his wisdom, his wealth, the building of the temple, but also the dangers of unchecked power and straying from your values.
It reminds us that even the wisest and most powerful leaders, they're still human. They can do amazing things, but they can also make mistakes, bad decisions. But there's hope in Solomon's story, too.
Hope? How so?
Because even though Solomon stumbled, he left behind a legacy that goes beyond his personal failings. He's remembered not just for his accomplishments, but for the wisdom found in the writings attributed to him.
Ah, right. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs.
Yes. Even with his personal choices, he's still seen as a source of incredible wisdom and insight.
So you're saying even though he messed up, he still had important things to teach us about life, about love, about everything.
That's it, exactly. We shouldn't put historical figures on a pedestal. They were human, like us, strengths and weaknesses and all.
It makes me think about leaders today, the ones who seem to have it all, success, power, everything, and then their personal lives fall apart. Maybe Solomon's story is more relevant now than we think.
Definitely. And that's what makes studying history so important. It's not just about facts and dates. It's about understanding people, learning from their successes and their failures.
So even though Solomon fell from grace, his legacy lives on through these amazing works of wisdom.
And they still inspire us, challenge us to think about the big questions in life.
Well, that's what we're going to explore in the last part of our deep dive, the enduring legacy of Solomon's wisdom. We've been talking about the reign of King Solomon, all the highs and lows, the incredible rise, the strategic thinking, the amazing temple he built, and then, of course, some of his not-so-wise choices later on.
Yeah, it's a real roller coaster of a story. But, like we said, even with those missteps, Solomon left a legacy that's still impacting us today.
Right, the wisdom literature. Dr. Phillips talked about those three books in the Old Testament, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs, all attributed to Solomon. It's hard to wrap your head around. He makes some questionable choices, but he's still seen as the source of deep wisdom.
Well, that's human nature for you.
Right.
We're all capable of great wisdom and also making some dumb mistakes. I like to think of Solomon's life as a tapestry. You've got these threads of brilliance, ambition, love, and yeah, some blunders all woven together.
So it's not just about focusing on those mistakes, but also seeing the insights he gave us through these writings.
That's it. These books offer timeless wisdom on so many topics. Like in Proverbs, you get practical advice for daily living. Then there's Ecclesiastes. It's all about those deep philosophical reflections on the meaning of life.
And a Song of Songs, that's the more romantic one, right?
Absolutely. Celebrating love and desires, a really unique part of the Bible and often overlooked. It's fascinating how these three books, all connected to Solomon, explore such different parts of being human.
So wisdom isn't just about, you know, being smart or making good decisions. It's about understanding the whole range of human emotions, the good and the bad.
You said it perfectly. These books remind us that life is messy, it's complicated, and there's no easy answer to those big life questions.
So how do we make sense of Solomon's personal failings when we read these wise writings?
I think it's key to remember that these texts probably weren't written all at once. It took time. They come from a tradition of wisdom, passed down and shaped by lots of different authors and editors over the years.
So maybe Solomon wasn't the only writer. Maybe it's more like a collective wisdom, not just his own individual thoughts.
That's likely what happened. We see this throughout the Bible. Traditions and stories, they're shared and then reinterpreted through generations.
Makes sense. It also means that Solomon doesn't have to be this perfect, all-knowing sage. He's just one voice in a bigger conversation about wisdom and what it means to be human.
Exactly. And that's what makes these wisdom books so amazing. They pull you into this conversation about the big questions. What's the meaning of life? How should we live? What is love? What does loss mean? People have been struggling with these questions forever.
And we're still asking them today. It's incredible how these ancient texts are still relevant to us.
That's the power of wisdom literature. It goes beyond time and culture. It's about those universal truths and insights that just speak to the heart.
So even though Solomon, you know, fell from grace, his legacy lives on through these works of wisdom.
And those works, they keep inspiring us. They challenge us to think deeply about life, about love, and to keep searching for wisdom.
We've covered a lot in this deep dive. We've seen Solomon's rise to power, his strategic genius, the building of the temple, his bad decisions, and the lasting legacy of his wisdom.
It reminds us that history isn't just dry facts and dates. It's the stories of people, their triumphs and their failures. And sometimes those failures, they teach us just as much as their successes.
I agree. Solomon's story, it's a warning, but it's also a testament to the power of wisdom and learning from the past.
And on that note, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep seeking wisdom, keep asking those tough questions, and keep exploring the amazing world of history and the human experience.